The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
That we're feeling. I don't like it. Hello. Good morning. Welcome in. Carmichael Dave, Jason Ross, Christopher Laud, who, by the way, was announced yesterday. Christopher Laud won the Third Man of the Year award for radio. And
no snub.
No snubs here.
We don't want no snub.
We don't want no snubs. No. No. We'll talk about that throughout the day. Jason, you had a you had some free time yesterday. Every once in a while. And it really, truly is the equivalent of, like, this happened about a month ago. It was after dinner, about an hour or two after dinner. And, you know, we generally don't have sweets in our house much. But I have a shockingly, I have a sweet tooth. And I just did this. Everyone's done this. It's kind of like a second cousin to when you go onto Netflix or something and you never watch anything. You just flip around and look for things to watch.
Right.
So I do the thing where, like, everyone's done this. You're standing in front of the fridge or freezer and you're just scanning. And it's the same stuff that was there yesterday. You're just hoping to find something new, right?
Yeah.
So I open the freezer, and I'm just like, is there anything in here I forgot? Is there like an Otter Pop something? I don't know. And I open it up.
A little poncho punch.
Something, you know, maybe left over from the kids when they were babies. I don't care. It's frozen. I'll eat it. And I open it up, and boom, there's two things. My wife had gone to CVS or Rite Aid that day for something, and she picked up two things, a double chocolate malted crunch Thrifty's ice cream. And nice. It was like, oh my God, this is like, and it's because I wasn't expecting it.
Probably the best find ever.
The best find ever, and the ice cream tasted that much better. So every once in a while, this happens.
Do you have the Thrifty's
scoop? That's what I got for Christmas. Yes, that was, I did. I got it for Christmas.
Of course you do.
I got it for Christmas.
It made it better, didn't it?
It really honestly did, because it comes out in the Thrifty.
In the cylinder?
Yeah, and I didn't even, in the cylinder. And I didn't put it in a cone. I just do a bunch of cylinders in the bowl. It's so fun. Just, and I even do the thing where, like, I'll fill up a little, I have a little bowl that I use, and I fill it with hot water, and then that way
Get so the it's maximum amount of
go in there and then again, and then of course I always stop at 2. So that was a great feeling. Just like every once in a while, I will get up at 3:30, grab the coffee, go outside, set my workstation up, do my thing. And by
I'm
the way,
walking over there before I get my coffee.
And by the way, By setting up my workstation, I mean putting my coffee on the table and pulling my phone out. That's.
It's elaborate.
And I go in there, and you got in, and you wrote out the show.
I did.
That's great. It's just that is the found Thrifty's ice cream of work. So I
which was better
on
ice cream.
That's a tough one.
Yeah,
that really is a tough one. It's such a good. It's like today's going to be great.
Okay,
it's going to be a great day.
I hope I made your day better.
Yesterday, not a great day at post work.
Really?
Today, I'll tell you off the air. Yesterday was a very challenging day off the air for we have one of those days where, like, you get hit with something, then you get hit with something else. And it was just one of those days. Today's going to be wonderful. And I even have a story to tell that I found out last night that somehow happened a month ago and I didn't hear about this. But this is absolutely.
The Kings made the playoffs?
Yes, Chris. You weren't.
That would be great news.
Yeah, hello.
Found ice cream.
Yeah, it's one. Right. So apparently, so our kids clean their rooms. That's one of their chores. We don't clean their rooms for them. That's, you clean your own room. They've done that for a while now. But about once a year, Melissa will go in and she just has, she deep cleans. Like, they clean their room, but then she goes in, she'll like clean the carpets, wipe down everything. Like, just, she has to go in and cobweb everything. Just deep cleans the room because they're gross little kids and you never know what's hanging out.
And you're not going to do it.
If it was up to me, yeah, they'd be,
I got ice cream to eat.
Right, exactly. There'd be ice cream bowls. They'd be little baby hoarders.
Yeah.
She's cleaning my son's room. And it turns out what she did that she hasn't done before is she moved his bed.
Uh-oh.
So that she could clean the carpet underneath it, which I don't know why you'd need to do that because nobody steps on it, but she just, that felt right to her. She moves his bed and she finds 5 plastic baggies. She goes down and looks at the baggies. And they all have this little white thing in them. Apparently, my son, when he loses a tooth, puts it in the baggie and puts it under his pillow for the tooth fairy, like every kid does. Apparently, when the tooth fairy, I guess, he would lose the tooth, like all parents, we inform them of this and the process that you go through for the tooth fairy. You lose the tooth, you put it in the bag, you put it underneath your pillow, and in the morning there's a nice crisp dollar bill or whatever it is.
Parents are the middleman.
We're the middle persons, Chris.
Okay.
Well, once my son learned that, apparently he made the decision at some point to cut out the middleman. He would lose the tooth, put it in the baggie, put it underneath the pillow. And according to my son, when we sat him down and asked him, when he woke up and found that the tooth was still under his pillow, he decided the tooth fairy was busy, obviously didn't have time, pushed the baggie to the back of his bed so that if the tooth fairy came in the future, maybe she'd see the teeth she missed and give him double money. And so apparently my son would put the tooth underneath the pillow. This is his thought process. Wake up, look under the bed and go, oh, I guess the tooth fairy did a cub. And then push the tooth down and then just went about his day. Never said a word. 5 teeth. 5 teeth underneath his bed.
Gross.
Right. In little baggies. I know this. When I was,
I thought he was knocking other kids out.
Yeah, right. He's just grabbing the teeth, makes a necklace.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I don't know about y'all, but, you know, times were tough in my own personal kid budget. I needed every dollar I could get.
Oh, I wasn't getting dollars.
Yeah, you know, right. Exactly. Yeah. Quarters. Yeah. Exactly.
I paid my taxes.
50 cents meant 5 of those little red fireballs.
Yeah. Baseball cards.
Yeah. So I would wake up in the morning and I don't even remember. I don't think the tooth fairy ever missed. But if, in fact, I woke up and my tooth was still underneath the pillow, I would have grabbed it and ran down the hall. You guys need to talk to her immediately.
Yeah.
And I want interest. What is going on here? She's slipping. My ding-dong kid's just like, well, I guess you didn't have time. Okay, sorry. And just went on. 5 teeth.
I'll wait.
I mean, maybe she'll figure it out eventually. Now, look, he's 15 years old. He's old enough to, you know, we haven't had the conversation with the kids about the Tooth Fairy, Santa Claus, and the Easter Bunny. There's never been an official proclamation as they've gotten older, but I think everyone just kind of understands, and we all kind of wink, wink, and nod. So now Melissa and I were talking last night about, all right, well, what do we do with the Tooth Fairy here as far as, like, there's obviously got to be a lump sum, maybe some interest involved.
$45,000.
Yeah, right. And the sad thing, and the thing with the kid is that he, like, and again, Avery would have been all over it. I promise you that. She she
should have written letters.
Blows through money. Right, yeah. Exactly. She would have had a protest.
Yeah.
With him, I just know what'll happen. He'll get whatever he gets. And you know, we give him paper now, not coins, you know, inflation. Yeah.
Well, it's sensible to save this.
Right. 100%.
I think the Tooth Fairy would Venmo at this point.
You would think so. Yeah. And now he'll just go to wherever. And I don't know. The one he really needed to hide it from was his mother. Like, nobody knows where his stash is, but he'll just pull out his big roll of cash and just wrap it around that with his rubber band and put it back. Like, it's not like he's going to go out and spend it.
Sounds like a cash grab.
It is a cash grab. I mean, honestly,
this seems like a cash grab.
Half of me expects that when it's time to go to college and, you know, we're worried about, you know, oh, we got to do this and how we're going to pay for it and all that. I'm like,
I got it.
I half expect him to pull out his roll of cash and his 700 gift cards.
Yeah, just his be like, teeth.
Yeah, and his teeth. Yeah, exactly.
So what does this get me?
Just hand them over. Just hand them to the school. Be like, hey, look, I got it.
Hello, Harvard. I'm ready.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just never.
Take care of grad school while you're at it.
Right. I got the whole thing. I never. It's just typical Mason, man. I that kid is, he's a weirdo. I love him, but he's.
Was there any moment where your wife, before she was like, what is, like, or did she know it was a tooth right away?
She didn't know at first. Yeah. She had no idea. I mean, it's not like she thought it was like piles of cocaine or anything, like, you know. Which is the road I was trying to lead everybody down. But no, I think she was just like, oh God, what is this?
You know, as you were saying it, what I thought it was for a half a second.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, is he clipping his nails?
And just throwing them in there?
Yeah.
That would be an amazing thing to do. And I'm also, there are several different roads that, as I was telling the story, I was figuring people were going down. For example, 15-year-old boy, she moves his bed and find things under the bed. I think we all knew where that was possibly going. So there were some stops and starts and some occasional detours there. But yeah, it was his teeth. And we have
wouldn't have guessed it in a million years.
Wouldn't have guessed the teeth? No. Hey, we have one of those on the tech. There's always one of those out there. My aunt is like this too, by the way. My aunt Ronnie is always like this. No better way to build trust with our kids than tell them they're magical creatures that give them money and gifts. Shut up.
Go outside, nerd.
Yeah, seriously. Get out. Dork. First off, I have found a couple of things. I don't know if this is the case with that person, but I have found a few things. Number one, 85% of all the people I've ever heard that from do not have children. That's number one. Number two, let's say they do. Yeah, it's called make-believe and imagination and fun, and you have your entire life to be cynical and contrarian and deal with crap. You have really, if you think about it, what you have, anybody remember anything before they were like four or five? Uh-huh. Okay. And then once you get to like, I feel like 16, 17, 18, you're starting to think about you want to be an adult. I feel like you have about 10 years maybe of pure unadulterated childhood.
Yeah. And that could change. I think if you are a sibling of many kids.
Absolutely.
So maybe the ones that are older tell you some things.
Right. Like, wait,
that window is a little smaller, I think.
I think you're 100% right. I think you are. And, of course, you know, let's not get too deep. Some kids are forced to grow up a lot earlier than others.
Absolutely.
Different socioeconomics. I'm saying at most I think you have 10 years of Willy Wonka and Santa Claus. And
pretty good land. Yeah, pretty good time.
Yeah, you know what? I think I mean, everybody's different as a parent. I want them to have that. I wanted them to have that for as long as possible before the realities of the world set in and you realize everything's terrible. And, you know, everyone's horrible. Everything's terrible. You go to work and pay bills until you die. I mean, that's the reality, kid, with the occasional sprinkle of, hey, the Kings made the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
You know, but for every Kings made the playoffs last year, there's 50 Malik Monk got screweds.
Right.
That's just how it is.
This might surprise you, but as a child, I was very questionable about the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus.
No way.
That doesn't add up. Where I would get letters saying, hey, I'm real.
That is excellent parenting, right? See, that is excellent parenting. Just drive it through. I mean, everyone has their entire life to be a cynical, you know, snotty little contrarian. Everyone does.
Yeah, you have more years of that.
Yes, you have far, you know, it's okay. You have far more years of that. It's okay to just have a little bit, because I feel like those people, Those are the ones that grow up and are like, I don't trust anything, and the world is stupid, and screw you. All right, well, like, I would like to, I actually like to know, he's going to get mad at me, but I mean, honestly, I would be curious. MC, can I ask you a question without you getting mad, and then we got to take a break? I'm really curious. Just answer me, just give me a straight answer in the chat, just, and be honest, I know you will. When did you find out the truth about the make-believes? I honestly am curious if MC was one that was told early or was told late, or I'm probably going to get a response. It's like, it's going to have something with Santa with a dollar sign. I don't know, but whatever. We'll take a break when we come back. We got our season evaluations to continue. We'll get to Trey Lyles at some point today. Well, rather early. Kelly Brothers is going to join us.
Yeah.
Good at business.
Sam Amick.
I know him.
His second appearance of the week. And we're going to talk about Ian Anthony Slater's article on the Kings, on Mike Brown's pending, perhaps, extension. Thank God Sam's already publicly stated he voted for Malik Monk. But we will talk about the process of that, including an idea I really liked. Second time we've mentioned her on the show this week, from De'Aaron Fox's wife, Rasay, who went online and had a couple questions about the voting, and I thought they were pretty legit. So we got a, dare I say, a big fat hairy show today.
You can.
Yeah. It's Jason. It's Chris. It's myself. We'll take a break. Leading off is next.
Let's do it. Leading off, the three top stories in the morning.
Huge news. This is very important.
Here's cut number one.
Let's have a moment here.
And the 2024 Kia Six Man Award goes to Naz Reid of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, congratulations, Naz Reid.
Yeah.
No congratulations to Naz Reid.
Now, hey, look. Let's just, we're big boys and girls here. I have nothing against Naz Reid. I have nothing against Naz Reid at all. What a great year, and I get it. I shouldn't say I get it. You're right. I'm not going to begrudge or dislike the player based on what other people did. So, like, congratulations, Naz Reid, two thumbs up, whatever. What a farce. What an absolute farce. Look, there are two reasons Naz Reid won sixth man over, well, there's a number of them, but here's the two. Number one, Malik Monk got hurt. That's not Naz Reid's fault. Okay. Secondly, Naz Reid started double digit games towards the end of the year. And when you combine those numbers and you look at it as a whole, Monk versus Naz Reid, oh, well, it's a little bit closer. Or in some cases, Naz is winning. When you look at the numbers off the bench, it's not a contest. It's Malik Monk across the board pretty much. I think Naz has him on rebounds. There is no not only is there no reason for Malik Monk to not win Sixth Man of the Year, but when you look at the voting itself, it's like a couple people left him completely off. Then there are ones that, like, put him third. And I think there was one or two that put him fourth. Like, I could even understand if, like, a Milwaukee writer or something was like, okay, I'm going Naz, Bobby Portis, and Malik Monk. Because in some world, people are convinced, or some, I think there's some that are like, well, team wins have to factor in. Exactly. And so it's like, okay. But he got totally screwed. And it's the closest vote they've ever had. He got absolutely hosed.
Yeah, I mean, they basically had same amount of second-place votes, same amount of third-place votes. The first was off by two, and that's what the separation was. So that means at least two, and I think there's more that left them completely off the top three, and I don't even understand that. The other one, I feel like sixth man of the year is, at least in my opinion, the easiest one to determine what the award means. Like when you say, if we asked each other or a bunch of people, what's the most valuable player mean?
Right.
And some will be like, best player, best team, stats. You couldn't win without, you know, there's some answers.
Yes.
To me, it's basically stats from somebody that comes off the bench. The best stats.
Yes.
And for the second straight year, he led in scoring.
Yep.
I don't know if it was the first or second year in a row, he had the most assists off the bench for a player. Mm-hmm. That's a spark. That's a sixth man. That's someone that helps a team. I thought it was easy.
First player in 35 years to lead the league in bench points in back-to-back seasons. And not win sixth man of the year. Most points off the bench. Most assists off the bench. Most 20-point games off the bench. Most 25-point games off the bench. Most clutch points, field goals made, three-pointers off the bench. And let's remember, also, as I said, most assists off the bench. It wasn't just him scoring. It's just, look. And also, and we'll be talking about this all day. There's sliver of Kings fans out there that's just, I get it, but it's just so dumb. They're like, hey, who cares? We didn't make the playoffs. What do we care? Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
He cared.
He cared.
Yeah.
And generally, you know, you care what it's not Malik Monk's fault we didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
Well, good. He didn't win. Maybe it'll make it easier to sign him. Mm. And we talked about that yesterday. No, it won't. And that's still just such a cynical, selfish way to look at things. I get we didn't make the playoffs. Yes, I'd rather make the play. Yes, I'd rather the team have made the playoffs and Malik Monk not win. But we didn't make the playoffs, and he didn't win. He got screwed. He got hosed. And so now, just to recap, we have Domantas Sabonis, one of the biggest hosings off the All-Star game ever. De'Aaron Fox, hosed. Malik Monk, hosed. It's just, I hope everyone going into next year with Malik Monk hopefully back, I hope the team, and this is the only way I can bright side it. I hope the team, I hope next year, like, the slogan should be like, here we chip. And I hope everybody has a giant bag of ruffles on their, not a chip on their shoulder, a bag of ruffles on their shoulder. Yeah. And everyone's just angry and out for revenge. That's how it should be. Revenge.
The revenge tour.
Best served with a B.
Yes.
Cut number two, please.
Cut number two.
They'll dribble it out, take the violation.
2 4 seconds violation.
Miami lost the first play-in game against Philadelphia on the road. Jimmy Butler was hurt in that game. Came back to beat Chicago at home by 21 Friday. Lost here Sunday, but they have come back with a win, and now they are going back.
Miami wins. You see Shaq bet Barkley before the game that the Heat would win by 10.
I didn't see that.
He bet him they'd win by 10 before the game. They double it up at halftime. And then in the post game, they're talking back and forth. And Charles goes, Shaq, answer the phone, man. Answer the phone. Shaq answers the phone. It's like 10, 20 grand in hundreds that he's using as a phone. Like, inside the NBA is
so
the
good.
Absolute best. And wow, now we have former players openly betting on games. Yeah.
What if that's problematic?
What if that's problematic
they
at all?
They get fined, in trouble, banned?
The Miami Heat did not have Jimmy Butler. The Miami Heat did not have Terry Rozier. They did have Nikola Jovic. Not Jokic.
Oh,
Jovic.
Like, I missed that trade.
Who has played a total of 61 games over a two-year career. They had a guy named Jaime Jaquez.
I know him.
Do you know him?
Chris's favorite player.
I've heard of him.
He was playing in the NCAA tournament last year.
Yes.
And was starting along with Jovic this year. You know, no offense to Caleb Martin, but a guy that was in our system, right. A G-leaguer who's made good. And they go into a place in Boston who have lost at home just four times all year, and they win. And that, friends, is when they say Heat culture,
yep.
That's Heat culture.
That's it. I mean, like without Jimmy, I actually think with Jimmy Butler, they had a chance in this series. I don't think they can win this series, sure. But I also thought, man, that's just a terrible first-round matchup for Boston. You get all those wins. You want it to be easy. I didn't think it would be easy. It might be the only win Miami gets. I didn't think they'd get one in Boston, though. And they hit all those threes. They're just a pain. They're too good. They play too hard. They make you work, and Boston's now got to work.
All that work, and they lose home court advantage
in
game two.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely – look, I picked Boston to win the whole thing.
Yeah, which I think makes a ton of
sense.
And
I think they will.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced. But I'm also I don't know if I'm as convinced as you that they could pass Miami.
Well, I mean,
I think they will.
I wouldn't be – I would not be shocked, but it would be surprising.
It would be.
Miami made a ton of threes. I'm not saying it's that simple.
Sure.
But there's a reason they made a ton of threes, obviously, the way they set up their offense. They defended well. They've got to be confident that they could do this. They beat them last year. So,
I'm going to ask you guys this. If there was a coach draft, does Spoelstra go first?
He'd be, probably. Probably highly considered.
I mean, Pop with the age, I probably wouldn't. And I'm thinking, and I know he's, there's coaches of the year and this and that. I feel like Spo goes first.
Right.
It's just so damn good.
And this has always been my example this year, like when we were talking about the Kings in the regular season. I said, the Kings could have the Celtics season. If they lost in the first round, it would feel like a failure.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, there's so much pressure on Boston to get to the finals and probably win it all. And they still may do all of those things. But here's that first bump in the road here, two games into the playoffs.
I'll tell you this much. They lose in the first round, I think Joe Mazzulla's gone.
It's the only thing they can do, it's right? You're not getting rid of the talent. No. The talent's too good.
No, he's gone. He is gone. So they're already having that conversation on WEEI right now, I guarantee you. All right, we'll take a break. That's a respectable job.
Yeah,
when we come back, Trey Lyles, we've got some talk from him. Or do we have sound from him? We have sound from him, right? Yeah, we have sound from him from all the old exit interviews. And then let's, as we've been doing, let's rate the season for old Trey Lyles. We'll do all that right after this.
Michael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sactown Sports.
Coming up a little bit later in the show, 1 hour from now, Kelly Brothers. Talking sports business.
Good at business.
Yeah, he is. 8 o'clock, second appearance this week, but it's the usual time for the one, the only, Sam Amick. Got to see Dave. If Sam, I don't think he can top his personal best of a drop that he gave us. But
no chance.
I know I'm shamelessly pumping the poll here.
There were a couple,
but that one was that's number one on the Sam Amick list. I think.
I think if once we hire our new imaging guy,
mm-hmm.
when we have like maybe next year, when we have our Sam Amick show.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we have an open. Hey, it's time for the Sam Amick Show. Join Sammy. We got to throw that in there.
Yeah.
I know I'm shamelessly pumping the poll here.
Yeah. And by the way, for all you immature people out there, what we're talking about is there was a poll on The Athletic of anonymous players
right. That
we talked about.
Yeah.
And he came on and
shamelessly plugged it. Yeah. It's exactly what he said.
People want to take that some weird. I don't even know how people would take that differently.
I don't get it.
I don't know how they take the poll being pumped in a different way.
Yeah.
He was plugging his work.
Yeah. I got it. I don't know why it was weird.
People are so immature, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just ridiculous. That's why we didn't make the playoffs. That's why.
We've been punished.
We have been punished.
Yeah, be better.
So Sam will join us. And the reason why he's joining us twice in a week, we wanted to talk about that whole end of season poll, which is actually a really cool thing to do.
Yeah.
And then today, we will focus on the article from he and Anthony Slater as part of our Kings postmortem, where they talk, amongst other things, Mike Brown's contract extension pending, Malik Monk staying, what Monty can and can't do in the offseason.
Yeah. And Monty and Mike Brown spoke yesterday, so we'll hear some of those comments today.
By the way, update. So I got work back from the Kings. So, you know, generally, we'll get Monty at the end of every season. We have every year he's been here. But we will not get him before his his press conference. Always, that's his first media appearance after. So he had that yesterday. So I had put in a request, hey, can we get him Thursday or today or tomorrow after the presser? But without going into, you know, it's nothing big. It's just today and tomorrow he's got a bunch of stuff going on. So we are, just to update you, we are efforting Monty McNair. I expect we will get him at some point early next week or next week at some point, but we'll get Monty on the program. If we have anything to say about it, we'll get Monty. And Monty's always been very good about that. He is 100% of the time come on at the end of the season. So just to update you there, and we'll have our own exit interview with Montavious McNair. His full name.
Yeah.
Is Monty short for something? Montgomery? Hmm. Is Monty an abbreviation?
Montemayor?
That's old school. What if his real name is Montgomery McNair? That is a Montgomery McNair.
Always wins executive of the year.
Always.
Yeah.
Hello, Montgomery McNair, Princeton University. Yeah. That is an absolutely highfalutin name.
Scoff. I scoff at you.
Got Montgomery McNair on line one.
Would you like to know what Monty is short for?
Yes.
Monty McNair's full name is Monty McNair.
Oh, boo.
It doesn't even appear that he has a middle name.
Really? Oh, we're going to have to find this out because I'm assuming Wikipedia Yeah.
They've got everything. It's
Michael. But maybe he's never disclosed it.
It's Michael.
What if his real first name is like Bernard? They just, well, my uncle was
Monty. What
were the
names yesterday you were saying that aren't said anymore and he has one of them?
Right. It's, yes, it's Elmer. Mm-hmm. Elmer McNair. And he just, Monty was, you know, I used to watch Monty Python all the time and my parents started calling me that. That'd be fantastic. All right. Trey Lyles visited with the media. After after all the stuff with the season, he had his postseason visit and talked about the defense and the uptick at the end of the year.
I do. I think the last 10, 15, 20 games, we were playing a lot more physical than we were earlier in the season. I think it showed on the court. And just like our defense was a lot better, I think, down the stretch in a lot of key moments. So I think if we can come into next season with the same attitude that this season ended on, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to their full year defense next year.
Yeah, and the other thing I think they have to figure out, was the defense improved because they got more physical, or was it because of personnel? And what I mean by that is Herter was out, mm-hmm. and then Monk was out.
Yeah.
Two good offensive players.
Right.
I've never said, you know, no one's ever said they're lockdown defenders. They don't, you know.
No one's ever mistaken them for Marcus Smart and,
right.
you know, Rasheed Wallace.
But then who plays more? Here's Davion playing more. Here's Keon Ellis playing more, who are very good defenders. So is it both? Is it part of one? Is it all, you know, like what was the bigger factor in their improved defense?
So you and I have covered this sport a long, long time, and you are around it constantly, talking to coaches, talking to players, talking to people in the business. And one thing that over the years is because I've always had this question, how it's easy to answer with offense. How much of defense is skill and how much is attitude? And I feel like through the years, obviously the answer is both. But through the years, I think we've found, Jason, push back if you disagree, that a lot of what goes into a team defense is the attitude of, we take it personally if you score on us. It is team defense. It's communication. You know, the 0-2 Kings led the league in opponent field goal percentage. This is a team that had Mike Bibby and Peja Stojakovic and Vlade Divac in the starting lineup. All three, not great defenders, and that's being kind. But you had Doug Christie,
right.
and you had a system in place where there was communication, and they took it personally. I think what we saw this year is, despite the fact, I think dollar for dollar, I think they have better defenders this year than they did in 2002. Mm-hmm. You know, they have actual specialists in Ellis and Davion Mitchell and folks, and De'Aaron Fox led the league in steals. I think what we saw this year, especially towards the end of the year, is they started to get it and take it personally mm-hmm. and got very communicative. And I think Domantas Sabonis actually has a lot to do with that team communication. I think that's very carryable into next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's people that can have better instincts defensively.
Yes.
Like, Davion has gifts where, like, he shadows people and, like, looks like a cornerback.
Yes.
I don't think everybody can do that.
Yes.
But there's also, I mean, you have to have a desire.
Yes.
I don't know. I think it's be a terrible example, but you and I go, hey, let's go play some pickup. And we're just goofing around. It's like, all right. Yeah. I mean, I could guard you, you guard
right.
me. It's like all of a sudden they go, hey, Chris comes in and goes, it's for $250,000. I bet our defense is going to be better.
A little bit.
And it's like, oh, man, Dave scored two. I can't let him score three in a row. Like,
right, right.
I may foul you.
You're
whatever.
Taking it personally.
It's like something has changed. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe in the end I can't do it, but right. I've tried harder. I've done absolutely everything I possibly could.
And so much of it, Jason, is in the attitude part comes in where you've seen, how many times have the Kings done this just this year alone, where you play tremendous defense for 23 seconds mm-hmm. and then it's a heave from the free throw line and it goes in? That is demoralizing.
Absolutely it is.
And then on top of that, you also have the energy expenditure of mm-hmm. I'm trying to lock my man down. I'm running all over the court chasing Steph Curry or whoever. And now I have to go back on offense on a fast break. And at some point, conditioning comes into it,
sure,
too.
Sure.
How many times a season would there be a great defensive play they stop them, but they get the offensive rebound and then end up with a three.
Yes.
So we're like, it would be better if they just scored to begin with.
Right, exactly.
Honestly, I feel like that happened so many times and happened late in the year. There was literally a time in the Pelicans game, in the play-in game, where I think the scramble was great. Everybody was shifting on defense. It was like they wanted to get switches on screens. The Kings did it perfectly. Boom, 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 pass cross-court that Davion doesn't quite handle. Bounces out to Murphy, and it's at his hands with like one, and it's just left his hand, and I kind of went, I know it's going in. And it went in, and you're like, but what else can you do? Now, that's not how they gave up all their points.
Sure.
But that's like, that's perfect defense, and you get burned.
And you have to be able to accept that and be like, you know what, we did as good as we can. Yep. Or, you know, speaking of the Pelicans, we'll take a break here. How many times did whoever play Brandon Ingram perfectly?
Yeah.
And then he goes from the corner, elbow.
Yeah.
And hand in his face,
right.
And the ball skips the defender's hand by a millimeter. Swish.
Yeah.
Like, what? You can't defend
nice
better
try.
Than that. But if you do that over 48,
right.
It's going to even out.
I agree.
It's going to even out. Because they're going to miss some wide open shots, too, by the way. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're finding that with these evaluations, even though we try to knock them out in a segment,
yeah. It's tough.
And I'm fine with that because it's a good discussion. So we'll pick Trey Lyles back and hopefully knock out the rest of this coming up at 7:43. When we come back, safe or out, a lot of stuff to discuss here, including the Giants' Blake Snell. Yeah, we'll get to that next.
Safe or out. It's time to go around baseball. Three pitches, three swings. It's safe or out on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
I'm here to report.
No.
I just want to say this. The three of us.
We chased Chris out of the room.
Yeah. Not only are we stupid on the air, we're actually stupider off the air.
Yeah, very much so.
We'd be worse. But we enjoyed it. I did.
Somehow we got into a conversation. Chris came in. The conversation about the owner of the Jaguars, Shad Khan.
Upcoming NFL draft today.
And that turned into now trying to come up with...
Con puns.
Like the wrath of...
Yeah, Shaka.
Which really is just a second cousin to who would be on your Mount Conmore.
Yes.
X. Who was the one that got you Smythe Trophy?
Yes. Prozan.
Roseanne.
Shaka.
Madeline.
James.
Chili Carney.
Artist.
That's the one that got safe or out.
You see, you left the room too early, Chris.
You did. You missed some gold.
Yeah.
Safe or out, question one.
You're stupid.
That's what you know. You're an idiot.
You know what, Chris? You never do this, but you need to cut that drop.
Yeah.
I see you laughing, saying you're stupid.
Question one, safer out, please.
Safer out? We should be concerned about Blake Snell's slow start and now ending up on the IL.
Saferoni.
So you're saying he's safe?
Yeah, okay. Like safe all caps.
He was supposed to start yesterday, and then like right before, he's
going
on. And he's 0-3 with a 90,000 ERA.
And he's coming off of major injury. Yeah, that's not great. Yeah, especially when you see headlines like Blake Snell injury makes Yankees offseason decisions look even savvier. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for getting caught up in that.
15-day IL with an adductor strain was scratched yesterday. Has not looked right. Bob Melvin.
Do we have abductors?
It's an adductor.
Adductor?
But I feel like it sounds like we have ADDUCTOR. I don't know what that is. I think it's something like under your armpit or whatever. Like it's I don't know what the hell it is. Maybe it's a wrist.
It's a minus doctor.
Bob Melvin says it's a moderate strain. Said it happened during a recent bullpen session and then kind of shut himself down. Next day came out, threw some more, tried to lean on it a little bit. Obviously to lose him for we don't know how long yet. It's not great. There are no immediate details on a timetable for his return, but Snell says, I would say probably like 2 weeks if everything goes well. That's what I want. Guys, let's take a guess here. Chris, did you look it up already?
It's more commonly known as a growing strain.
I was going to say, I did not have that on my list. I thought it was like the little, That was like a little muscle under your armpit. That's your adductor.
Okay. The groin?
Yeah.
It's a groin injury.
We're laughing. We don't think it's funny.
But this was supposed to be like Logan Webb's dealing. And now you're hoping like it was supposed to be a Webb Snell tandem that was going to at least give the Giants a chance. And it still could. But we haven't had the second part happen yet. The Snell part.
Yeah.
What's the Snell?
What the Snell is going on here? Yeah. Meanwhile, Logan's having web gems. Chili Carney. Number two, please.
You're stupid.
He's stupid.
Safer out. A closer look at the A's schedule, and they should feel good about being 9-16. They've played 7 against the Guardians. Today is the 4th against the Yankees. They have had 3 with the Red Sox and 3 with first-place Rangers.
So that
the Guardians are the best record in baseball.
Yeah, they do, which is incredibly weird.
The Yankees, the second best in the American League?
The A's have played 25. Yankees are pretty good this year, too.
Yeah.
17 of those 25 have been against those teams.
Yeah, the only two series they've had against teams below 500 is when they played the National League. They played the Cardinals and the Nationals.
I would say safe. They should feel good about this, considering how difficult their schedule has been. Also, the fact that they were at Texas, they were at Cleveland, they're at New York. Of course, they go next. Well, just going to Baltimore.
Yeah.
So you're at Baltimore. And you come home against Pittsburgh, who always starts out gangbusters, but eventually it will. Well, golly, three against Miami, okay. 4 against Texas, 4 at Seattle, 4 at Houston.
They're done.
Italy, yeah, exactly. Hey, I do. I look, 9-16, safe anyways.
Based on where we thought they'd be.
Right, but going into this, my goodness, could there be a World Series next year?
In Sacramento.
In Sacramento. 33-9-11. Number three, please.
Safer out. If the Cardinals are having trouble drawing fans, then baseball is in real trouble.
Well, I was told that the St. Louis Cardinals really have the best fans in Major League Baseball.
That's what they tell everybody.
Yeah. And I was told that they'll fill that place up no matter what. Look, I'm not one of those guys that's going to be gloomy doomy on baseball. I understand that baseball still makes a lot of money. I look at the contracts. I look at the attendance. Like I look at the TV numbers and all that. But I think unless you're paying close attention, baseball has a real generational issue here. And it's not just your middle-aged, older crowd that's holding on.
Yeah.
I'm a middle-aged guy, and I've fallen off. There is something off.
I don't know what the fix is.
I don't know what the fix is either. We talked about Theo. First off, Rob Manfred needs to get the hell out of there. Secondly, I hope they, again, go with somebody young and dynamic. But either way, that's not... I honestly don't... I do think it has something to do with attention span. I don't want to get too psychological, but I think in today's day and age of TikTok, YouTube, this, that, whatever, all the stuff that we're used to watching, sitting through, even if it's 2 hours, baseball is just like pitch, ball, pitch, strike, pitch, okay, hit, play. Oh, my God, that's exciting. Okay, no, we're back. Whereas football, it's like go, 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 first down, second down. Basketball.
Actually, it's more go, stop.
Football, for some reason that works.
And it's never though I know the time attention is something, but football can be like some of college games are like 4 hours.
I know.
I never complain.
I don't either. It works somehow.
And literally, there was a baseball game 2 weeks ago. I think it was the Red Sox. I can't remember Tanner Houck. I think threw like a 3-hitter, and it was 1 hour and 50 minutes. And actually, there were some people that complained. Like I came all the way to the game, and I was done in 2 hours. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
we can't have it both ways here, but I don't really care about the length of a basketball game.
No. You know what else doesn't help the Cardinals' attendance?
Is
the team asking between $500 and $600 million for the city for stadium upkeep.
And you know what? You're seeing
first stadium they just built, right?
You're seeing a lot. You know, the White Sox, Cardinals, the Bears, they released their new renderings and video, and people are like, why are we paying? They're finally starting to figure it out, thank God, after Golden 1 Center was built. They're finally starting to figure this out. By the way, the St. Louis Cardinals regularly, including last year, break 3 million in attendance, average around 40 to 42,000 per. According to attendance figures, They're just 3,000 off where they were last year per game. I know that adds up, but last year they had 3.2 million. They're averaging 37,000 versus 40,000, but that's paid. Remember, a lot of these people have their season tickets.
Yeah.
They just choose not to go, and they can't sell them on the secondary market. If you're looking at a lot of these games, man, these are some empty, empty ballparks. And you're right. I don't know what the fix is. I can tell you these are big. Big ballparks.
Yes.
Huge ballparks. And next year, like in Sacramento, for example, it's going to be a very small ballpark. Mm-hmm. Smallest in the country. And I know ballparks can't talk, but I got to imagine once the stadium goes major league, there's going to be some insecurities there about how little it is.
Yeah, they could use a boost.
They could use a boost. Maybe they should go to upsizematters.com for stadiums. I don't know if they do that or not. Because insecurity is a real thing, but let's not just always focus on insecurities. As I've always said, maybe, you're just fine with your friend down below. That's great. Good for you. Awesome. Super. Grand. Great. Wonderful. But hey, maybe you want to move up from the G League to the pros, or the pros to the All-Star team. You can go to upsizematters.com, check out what they've got to offer, and it's a procedure that can be done, walk in, walk out. It's non-surgical, virtually pain-free, and you get immediate results. It's safe, it's effective, it's long-lasting. It's done by actual doctors. My old friend, Dr. Jack Friedlander. In Roseville, his friend and partner, Dr. Pash, in San Francisco. Look, any rankings of anything having to do with that circumference, we'll say, is consistently ranked as the most important attribute. But this isn't something people want to do publicly and share with their friends or whatever. It's very private. They know what they're doing with all of that. You get a free consultation, and again, the procedure can be done on the same day as that consultation. Let's go to upsizematters.com. That's upsizematters.com. It's a Girthon. We'll take a break when we come back. How in the HE double hockey sticks did Malik Monk not win sixth man of the year? We'll take a look at the voting next.